to get started here. We have up to 8:05, and everybody at the table, except for myself, the sponsor. I wasn't here when Ramon put the bill in. I totally got my name on it, too. Perhaps, Ramon, you'd like to go ahead and give the initial presentation of the bill.
Well, I feel that everybody knows the need for the senior citizen housing within the state of Alaska, and this was my attempt to get some money into a place that not only the large cities are an outright bond for any one city could go, but any area of the state can come in and apply for a grant loan. And I've seen it now. Of course, it hasn't been how the regulations would be promulgated, but the way it would be up to the department. But I sort of seen it being set up as like it's the 1st of January or something like this. Everybody that was going to apply for one would have it in, and then they would go by need, and they would take into account if the community had the funds available themselves to kick in a portion of it. If some community come in and said, well, we have 50% funding available, but we don't have enough to initially get it started without a grant of so much more. And I can see it being very beneficial maybe to some small communities where there's only a need for maybe housing for 3 or 4 or 5 senior citizens. I think it's a real problem in the bush communities, along with the large cities, that they don't have any place for their senior citizens. And that maybe quite often all they need to do is, if there was a structure available that would meet code and this type of stuff, to purchase it. And then what these people could pay in for rent would keep the payments going. All they needed maybe is possibly a down payment on a house in some areas in small communities that could be used, you know, with a community front room type thing, with each of them having their individual bedroom, and that they could come in and apply. You know, it might be just for the down payment, and then they would be able to carry it on, but that they would have to have all their plans, how it was going to be. You know, it says here the feasibility of the project and the adequate management plans for the proposed project, that they'd have to have all this laid out when they came in asking for this money. And I think one of the reasons going through the community and regional affairs, when we talked about the gentleman I who drafted the bill about it, was that that way you can have some input. Community and regional affairs has very right at their fingertips how many there is in the community, how much of revenue sharing just went to that community, what the tax base is for that type of community, and see, and you know, communities that were willing to help themselves and have the availability of helping themselves would, you know, maybe be granted more than somebody just coming in and saying, well, we want so many thousands or hundreds of thousands or so many $1 million under this, without trying to put into it from the community themselves. It would be an incentive for a lot of them. And that's just about all I have to say. Well, it can be. I do have a bond issue for $6 million that goes with it. And where the $6 million come from, we just sort of looked around and thought, well, that was a good, nice, round little figure to pick out of the sky to start with. And the cost of housing, everyone knows in Alaska, is very expensive. But it also, in the enabling legislation, has that this can be either through bond or direct appropriation to this. So it wouldn't be, you know, in future years, if this legislation is to pass, if they found it a worthy tool for the senior citizens of the state, which has been a tool for everybody in the state, actually, that they could make a direct appropriations, or they could continue to put bond issues in to bond it, or there could be direct appropriations, either one may pass.
I have some questions. For example, who would be its priority, or how would it be determined against grants or loans?
What page are you
on? That's on 805, on about 13 or 14. Located through shell grants to municipalities or to corporations eligible for loans. So I wonder which one would take preference.
Well, you know, I feel that the section down here that they would, where it says that they shall promulgate regulations, that the regulations would have to take care of that, but they would set up regulations for, you know, to the you know, making it to the most needy community in this country. Can you pull the section 50 underneath this so that we can have some? Oh, you've got it right there.
Then what also, like over $6 million to pay the cost of building. How big a building would it be, and how far was $6 million?
Well, $6 million wouldn't build any one large. That's why I said it more as an incentive program for some communities that can get some money available. Sometimes there's some types of federal matching funds, and if they could come in with a program that with some community funds, with this type of funds being available, and also some federal funds being available underneath the plan. I don't see it as, you know, as just coming in and one person getting all this money for one outright huge building any one place. It'd be nice if we had enough money to put in a pot that, you know, every community could
do that. Do you think
you
should trust all that to regulations? It's hopefully going to do
well,
that.
If you'd seen my bill on regulations, you'd know what I think of regulations, but,
but there's nothing
I don't know how else you're going to tie it into
either.
This bill. I really don't. And then it's just going to be at the legislature because of the review of the regulations committee that we have to ride herd on them to see that the regulations are implemented in the way that we intended them with this bill. And we can write a letter of intent to put with the bill on our intent on what type of regulations would be drawn up.
As you know, in the past, these things are never very seldom done just the way that the legislature had hoped.
Well, that's why I said that we could, you know, put a letter of intent with it, which would follow it through Finance Committee, and then with your the committee that Tertullo chairs right now on regulations.
They hadn't went over one regulation yet this year and made any comments on it.
They have got a couple of them turned around before they ever were, you know, when they were just talked about regulations, just going in by talking to people.
They put this in, according to members of the regulation board.
Seems like a lot of work. Glenn was there. Next.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just a comment in response to Mr. Osi's question. We're breaking ground for one in Fairbanks for 96 units for $6.5 million. That'll break ground this spring. So just to give you an idea of how many units you're talking about. Of course, that's all in one project, so you get many fewer if you scattered it around a great deal. But just to give you an idea.
How's that being financed, private?
No, it's a national financing with some federal funds plugged into it. And then in the final analysis, also a federal supplement. If you can't afford to live in there on, you know, what you made, by the feds will supplement it.
Is that just a housing unit?
Yes.
That's all, there's no nursing care or anything like this?
It's apartment buildings or apartments?
One, two bedrooms.
And there's several floors, or are they separate?
Six floors.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Didn't they put in there someplace? I've seen it, but they'd have to put in some local effort somewhere. I hate to just pick it up. Now it's just the regulations or something.
Well,
I wonder if we can have some testimony from the people that have been waiting, because there may be some good input from some of them about some of these questions.
Yeah, why don't we hear from Mr. Plotnick first? I would know that. Had you expected to get some testimony, Dan?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I brought up private space for community regional affairs.
All right, we'll hear from the department.
Because they would be the administrator of the program, and that's more appropriate if the committee would agree.
Mr. Chairman, we have fairly little testimony other than to say that, of course, we agree with the principle of the program. In promulgating regulations and administering the funding, of course, we would deal very specifically with the Department of Health and Social Services, and specifically, of course, we'd work very closely with the Office of the Aging in promulgating those regulations. That's really about it.
Yeah, have you gone through the bill pretty closely?
Yes, we've read the bill closely.
On line 15, as I say, that the department shall make grants to municipalities or to corporations eligible for loans under section 50. You might want to explain what that means.
I'm going to defer back to Danny on that. Right. He's come up, I think, with ideas. Come on up.
Yeah, it's most of that.
Mr. Chairman, it's hardly the person to testify on this, having gone broke in trying to build housing in Alaska. But Section 50 of the statutes, basically an instrumentality which you set up in the last session of the Housing Development Revolving Loan Fund, which is the proper vehicle to administer this act. I don't know what has transpired. I don't know the track record for it as yet, because it's in Community and Regional Affairs. I would state that from the Office of Aging's point of view, we wholeheartedly support the concept that Representative Kelly and the other 34 members have put into this. And this reiterates the number one need of the senior citizens in Alaska, unlike any other state, but which money is the primary emphasis. Housing has been voiced as the number one need all over Alaska by from input from the senior citizens themselves. And it's commendable. It's something that should be wholeheartedly endorsed as a concept within the confines of appropriations and priorities by the government.
Well, in your position with the Office of the Aging, do you feel comfortable in allowing what appears to be quite a wide range of flexibility as far as the determinations to be made? Well, you know, having these responsibilities rest with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, it seems fairly open-ended. There's a fund, and then the applications come in, and pretty much however they see them, they disperse the money.
I would agree with that concept, and I don't know of a way to really improve it unless you get into your guidelines and regs. I would think that some sort of guidelines would have to be promulgated to assure equity in the disbursement of the funds. Yes?
Okay.
Yeah, I just had a call this morning from someone about the Asha housing in Anchorage being built in Eastchester. And now, how does Asha figure into this?
Doesn't
figure in here at all. Because in San Francisco, Ash is doing it in Fairfax, too. And this caller said that the prices are going to be kind of out of reach on the apartments. They're $380 I wrote them down in my office, but it was $380-something for a one-room efficiency and $460 and up for a one-bedroom apartment. And they were kind of outraged by, certainly disappointed, that they're going to be so high. And I don't know who governs those kinds of rates. Now, does that mean the feds can come in and help supplement the cost of that housing, as was just
I believe they have.
Well, this person didn't apparently know about that necessarily, but they knew the prices were going to be beyond the reach of a lot of people.
There are various segments of the federal law. There's the 221D3 under the Housing Federal Housing Act. There's a 201. Each one has separate criteria as to income basis. I'm more intimately familiar with the two existing separate units in Juneau at the Gastineau Hotel in South Franklin and the high-rise Marine View apartments on South Franklin. And there is a supplement based on the need of the individual. But those are federally supported programs. Exclusively state.
Mr. Chairman, I've written to Bill Miles to ask him to give me a breakdown by income on what those units in Fairbanks are going to cost and what the federal supplement will be in each case. I should have that back in 3 or 4 days' time, and I'd be very glad to share it with the committee.
You didn't mention the fiscal notes that came with the bill, Palmer. So it shows $11,900 for fiscal 77 if this program went into effect. That's, I mean, you wouldn't even need another person.
We're assuming, and the fiscal note does reflect just what we anticipate for FY 77. Certainly, as we get into the program, we can anticipate what kind of volume of staff time would be necessary. We would assume that we probably would not proceed with adoption of regulations until either there is the bond issue passed or some other attempted appropriation. We would, of course, be working between now and, say, the time that the bond issue would go before the voters in drafting up those regulations, but as far as actually proceeding with the adoption of them, we wouldn't plan to do that until the bond issue either passed or failed. Also, one other comment, and in part it's a question to Representative Kelly. I assume one of the reasons why our department was designated the responsibility for administration of this funding, on line 14, it indicates that we would make grants to municipalities or to corporations eligible. Again, I would assume that the intent there would be that even though a corporation within a municipality might make the grant, that we would, it would be channeled through the municipality as needing endorsement by the municipality. I don't know if that's the intent or not.
It wasn't particularly the intent, but I feel that, you know, that there wouldn't be anything wrong with that approach.
Now, again, I'm just asking for direction. We in Department of Community and Regional Affairs feel more comfortable to deal with, not that the municipality has to do anything, but certainly it ought to be sponsored or endorsed or in some other way by the municipality. Of course, in those areas of the state where there are not municipalities, and we feel comfortable to deal directly with the nonprofit corporation.
Yeah, I'll tell a little bit of background on this bill is, I know of a housing unit in California that at one time there was sort of some funds available in the federal government for grants for building housing, and there was a need in this one community in California for a senior citizen housing. And they're just a group of businessmen seeing the need, and they knew this money was available, and they set up a nonprofit corporation of the businessmen. The people within, they got the grant for to build it. They built it. They run it as a nonprofit corporation. They have a board that sort of governs it. The senior citizens there themselves elect advisories to this board. And everybody there seems to be having just, you know, think it's the most fantastic thing. And there's different, you know, steps of income that have different, you know, pay scales for the different types of apartments. There's three different types of apartments that are available within it. And they seem to think it's just working fantastically. And I think that usually that if they had all the, you know, the way it says the program all, you know, the plan, management plans, and this all proposed when they came in with the project, that they'd certainly, you know, usually it'd have to go through the zoning of the municipality or something like this. And the one comment I would like to make now about Mr. Osi's this statement, the one problem I have tying it with community participation, and this is why I felt leaving it up to regulations and putting it in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, because they do have such right at their fingertips what the tax base is of that community, and that for a small community that wasn't able, you know, didn't have the ability to tax themselves, it wasn't that they weren't willing, there just wasn't the tax base there available, because it's mainly a subsistence type community or something, that they could come in and get possibly just the grant for a down payment on a building that, you know, could be bedroomed off with four bedrooms and a front room and make four places available for senior citizens, and with the kitchen, you know, that would be community used by all the residents and this type of stuff. That I've talked to some of the people in those communities, and they feel that this would be really advantageous because they have problems with a lot of times their senior citizens, no place for them to go, the families moved away, they don't want to leave the small community. And I can see that helping the small community along with the large community that have the tax base, that like a municipality where I come from, that has the base, it could say, all right, here's a vehicle, we'll look around, there's some state funds here that we can get a hold of, maybe we can, you know, find some federal matching funds too, and if we can come up with so much out of our pocket, and that way Community and Regional Affairs has the knowledge of what the taxing situation is so that they can be, you know, free to judge. And I know I'm putting a lot of faith in the regulations and within the department on that.
Because, again, it's only $6 million, and that isn't going to, there's no top, no maximum, minimum as to how much they can get. So, again, it's putting too much on the regulations. And like you say, with these areas where they could probably get the manpower but not the money, well, it could be in kind. That to me would be more than and
you know I can see the community
I think it should be a type of revolving fund. $6 million. What's going to happen after that?
Well, that's why I said that's sort of just a figure to see how it sort of starts to work, you know, and if the regulations and this type of thing were working, and that's why. Leaving it up to regulations, and I just see the, you know, the legislature really having to handle the regulations. If we could put a letter of an intent with it, you know.
It's just like, for example, say the one in Fairbanks now is going to cost $6 million. It'd be up to the, if they wanted to get on this, how much would they be allowed? There's nothing here saying that they could get the whole works, get half $3 million, like half it or a quarter. And we're just leaving too much up to regulations on that. Who's got the most political manpower is who's going to get the lion's share.
Well, that is the bondage, but you know, within the enabling legislation, it does have that there can be direct appropriations also to this fund. So that if the finance committee and their great wisdom up there on the fourth floor seeing the need for kicking some money in, we could also get some money into the fund that way.
I don't want to stick all those, but I'm definitely for it, but I like to see it go to the right place. But I can't, I think it leaves too much leeway. We're leaving too much up for the price of things. And $6 million isn't going to go very far. One or two things. This is happening.
We'd take a motion to have the bond issue.
Well, of course, you're going to get too high. You know, you can put up anything you want, but whether it's going to pass through, it's going to be something else. So if we can get something through, I'd like to see it put through to the best effort. Apparently, I believe there's going to have to be some ceiling bonus as to either matching fund in kind or so forth, or revolving fund loans so they pay back in, because many of them would be able to possibly pay back in. But as soon as they find out it's going to be a grant, everybody in this world is going to be in on that thing.
Okay, what about it putting underneath Section C there something to do with that you know, the regulations that grants and loans must be given on a need and self-help, or however you would want to, you know, we could work out the legal language.
Well, I think it's very important we do have something like that.
Yeah.
Glenn, did you have something?
You know, Mr. Chairman, we talk about in kind, and I'm convinced that sometimes it should be called unkind, because it isn't always the, you know, the best thing in the world. I'm thinking of small communities who might apply for a grant under this, and their in-kind match would be the maintenance of the project once it was in. But that's been proved, and we've had testimony before this committee, that indicates unless there is some definite plan for that to take place, it just doesn't fly. So I would think if we were going to refer to regulations here, that we might say to Community and Regional Affairs that their regulations would have to take into account the ability of the community to sustain the project once it was developed in that community.
Well, that's where I see
in the
that.
Language, I believe.
And that's where I got on line 20, that they had to have an adequate management plan.
Well, that, you know, that would that would apply, for instance, to my community very nicely on this 96 unit, but a management plan for a 4-unit. You know, or a 2-unit really doesn't mean very much, because it still depends on what they come up with for regulation. So I think we should really nail something like that down.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
That concept that Mr. Hemming just brought up has certainly been one of the concerns of our department, the idea that DEC or EPA goes out and builds facilities and they don't provide for the ongoing. So that was one of the points I definitely looked at, and I interpreted in seeing the management plan that even in a small community, we'd want to see how's this thing going to operate over the next 10, 20 years.
That's why I specifically had that put in the bill. That was what I was trying to get at. Maybe I didn't have the right language put in there, but I said I wanted something in there that they had to, you know, show what was going to happen to it after the...
How it operates, how it can be maintained, and where the funding would come from. Perhaps you do want to write something more specific, but I was almost more concerned with that aspect of it. From a departmental point of view, and with the actual awarding of the grant.
Do you feel, from the departmental view, that that a letter of intent, would be of help, or
yes,
with pinning that down?
I see the tape recorder isn't going. you know, we'd definitely rely on
those too.
Oh, is it okay? Anyway, we'd we'd take into account the statements that have been made here. As record of the committee's intent.
I don't trust a letter of intent too much these days. I think that we can probably include in the language, in the language of the bill.
I think it's great to have it in there.
It seems that that Section B does kind of make a simplistic but still adequate provision for the, Mr. Hackney's concerns. It seems to me, anyway, that it does. If before the department can allow the grant, they have to be satisfied that there is.
You don't think it'd be necessary to refer to it again in the regulation section down below?
It may help to mention it again. That's the way I read the intent there on that.
See, I wouldn't think that the Department of Environmental Conservation would put a project in the bush if they didn't see how it could be carried out. But we've had testimony to prove that they do.
Right. Well, sir, you said something about that to require the municipality to be able to sustain the project financially. Yeah, that's. How's that?
I wonder if that would be involved in the fiscal management is what we're talking about, as well as the maintenance of a unit like this. And how does this actually work if the municipality undertakes it, or this corporation? What kind of corporations are eligible under Section 50? Is it nonprofit or?
Yes.
I would assume that it's
a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. And then, so that would be the responsible agency for providing you the plan. And if it's a, I figure how this would be, say, in a smaller community, if a nonprofit corporation took this upon themselves, obviously it would have to be somewhat of a business-like organization to attack it in the first place. And they must be, I would assume they have a long-range plan for maintaining and operating. When we're talking about, in the case of the Village Safe Water Act, if that's what you're referring to, of course, those are extremely remote villages in many cases where it's rather difficult to keep the operation and maintenance going. Obviously, it hasn't been provided for very well. But in these cases, it would be more central rural communities, I assume. Well, it wouldn't be tiny little villages where you need a well for water. I mean, I just suspect it would be. I would think it would be more of a central unit where it would be feasible to put one. And people might come in from neighboring villages, but they're going to spread them all over the state. At least I can't envision that. So if it's a nonprofit corporation, it seems to me they're already a business-based organization. They would be easier to deal with than, say, the Village Safe Water Act is, which I think is far more difficult than this one. Far more difficult to have follow-up on. I don't find as many hitches in this, although bound to be some, as there would be for that kind of program. It seems to me it's a far more feasible program. Does it seem that way to you?
Yes.
Then the Village Safe Water Act, I don't think, compares with what we're doing here. It's so much more of an awkward program because it's hitting the more remote areas. This one, I don't think, is going to be affecting those remote villages. Like, there are rural centers, and I assume that's where these places will go. Otherwise, it wouldn't make
like
any
Bethel.
Sense.
Bethel or something.
Yeah, like Bethel or Pottsville or any of the rural centers, yeah, where it would make sense to have one. It seems to me that's what I envision happening.
I was wondering if on line 20, if it would take care of Mr. Hetney's concern about the physical management, if after the word plan we put in what would read the proposed project and an adequate management plan to include physical management.
Physical or fiscal?
Physical. To include physical and fiscal management for the proposed project. Would that
805.
Take care of it.
Communities, and I imagine the board have this, would have to have water and sewer. So, those communities, water and sewer, and they would be out right to start with.
I don't feel underneath this it would necessarily be so, at least as, you know, as a sponsor of the bill, I didn't intend it that way.
That's how I'm asking.
That's what I see, that it would be, you know, for large cities like the community that I represent coming, you know, with probably there because the money isn't there, that they'd have to have some matching funds and that available. But for a small community, if it was, you know, equal to the standards of the community, you know, without being, you know, really being substandard type, if it was any dwelling that was, you know, like in some of our communities, all they have is honey bucket service, and if that's what it, you know, was the standard within the community, so that it met the standard, that it wouldn't have to have, now I can see where, that, you know, we have to have sprinkler systems and all this, and I would hope that in their type of regulations, they wouldn't come out with regulations. I certainly would be opposed to, you know, having to have water sprinklers and all this type within the small communities. Now, I would hope that they would say that, you know, every room had to have a smoke detector, because I think those are what save life more than the several people die of smoke inhalation, particularly our senior citizens, that it would be, you know.
Well, this is the reason that we leave up the regulations and was going to go back for $6 million, so they go so far, they're going to have to decide who's going to get it and how much. And so if it comes up, they say, well, here, I'll just say Palmer, for example. They got water and sewer against Willow that doesn't have it, and there still is a need is there. I'm quite sure the one with the sewer and water is the one that's going to get it. And that's the reason, and there's no, again, no ceiling as to the amount of money they can get and how it's going to be prorated down through these areas that are getting it.
You know, I hate to put a ceiling on how much any one community can get, say, you know, so much, so many thousand or so many, you know, 100,000 per population or something like that, for the sheer reason that I would really like to see it go on a need basis. The need and the capability of the community to help themselves and come
in. See, there's nothing in here that really says that either. There's nothing, no guidelines for them making up the regulations, like the chairman said. But
it says right in here to shall demonstrate the need for senior citizen housing. On line 18 and 19, the end of line 18, the application shall demonstrate the need for senior citizen housing.
Demonstrate the need, that's these latitudes.
I mean, I don't know how you're going to tie it down without.
The concern seems to be that you just give the money to the department and allowing them to make all the decisions on who gets it. Perhaps, you know, may end up that it may, you know, could go all to one place. And
you know, if somebody wants an amendment in there that's, you know, not over a certain percentage of it can go to any one community, only a certain percentage of the.
Could we have them come up with their ideas? We're going to have to quit anyway.
Well, Mr. Chairman, all I can say is, of course, I think need would be a primary determination by our department. We do have some other programs that are fairly flexible. We have come up with regulations that seem like they're working okay. Certainly the department doesn't have any political jurisdiction interests to where I think we would be looking at the whole state and trying to come up with that type of determination. We do involve ourselves fairly extensively with the entire state to where I think departmentally, you would have some idea, but certainly any legislative direction you want to give is, you know, respond to that. Or for that matter, we'd be happy to there will be public hearings, of course, on the regulations, and part of that fiscal note was to show that there would be, I think, about five different locations at which there would be public hearings. And I think at that point, there would also be the opportunity to understand not only legislative wishes, but citizens' wishes through those public hearings.
Yeah,
those regulations would be before the public and would be adopted prior to any determination, of course, on any application.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm sure we're not plowing your ground here. Other states have undertaken these kind of programs, and they're apparently manageable. I've seen what other states have done, individual little units in a park area. In some of those, Connecticut, I've seen that. There are small apartments, but manageable for a single person. And so we don't have to go around in the dark too much. There must be ways of exploring what has done a work that's from other places. Certainly isn't new ground.
Mr. Chairman, I note that the offices on aging in the other jurisdictions have housing experts, persons who are extremely knowledgeable in senior citizen housing. And I admit we in this state of Alaska have had the resources to do this as yet. And I've been very personally frustrated about this. I'm very familiar with the Plinkett and Haida turnkey housing in all of Southeast Alaska going up to Yakutat, as well as the Bethel project. And the Office of Aging will be able to assist and we'll coordinate with any region. We are doing needs assessments based on the numbers of elderly in each community of the state, based on sex and race. And we have to have this annually in the state plan. That information is available.
You've got that kind of stuff right now.
I have that, that is.
That might be something worth looking at.
That is mandated in our state operating plan, that we have these kinds of information. And I know that what's been voiced by the various communities in addition to that.
It'd be very interesting to have that. Maybe we could get Manny back again.
Yeah.
Can we bring that information?
Sure.
We'll plan on another hearing on this early next week.
Can we plan on for Monday?
Monday, yeah.